Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North.
All my bags are packed. I'm ready to go. I'm standing here outside your door. I hate to wake you up to say goodbye.
If you were around in the 1970s, the music of John Denver was all around you.
Even though John Denver died almost 20 years ago, his songs remain iconic, from Leaving on a Jet Plane to Thank God I'm a Country Boy to Rocky Mountain High and many more. To many, Denver still epitomizes a distinctly American singer-songwriter style, transcending folk, pop, and country to sell millions and millions of records and win many awards.
Singer-songwriter and Broadway composer Dan Wheatman spent 8 years in John Denver's band, and he was good friends with the singer. Back Home Again, On the Road with John Denver, which just opened at the Milwaukee Rep's Stackner Cabaret, showcases the music of Denver through the experiences that Wheatman had touring with him. Wheatman, who co-wrote the production with Randall Myler, was in town last week, and he explained how and why the show came together.
It's something that Randy has talked about for a long time. He's always wanted to do this. And I was very reluctant to do a show about me. It just seems I'm not very ego-driven in the world, and to do a show about me seemed, I don't know. Anyway, he came up and he pitched it here, and they took it. So then I had to write it.
So how did you approach it, since you were reluctant initially to do so?
Well, Randy and I have a great writing partnership. We are very good with each other and in suggestions and moving things around. So when this came up, I just sat down and wrote the whole story, unedited. All the little details through, you know, where I was living and who I was playing with and da-da-da-da-da-da and on and on and on. And then brought it here, and we started working on it and going, well, this isn't moving the plot forward, and this is information we don't need, and then suggesting things, and the two of us hammered it out. And with the help of the cast, too, because that's the way we work. We're very inclusive in our process, and we try to work with really good people all the time. David Lutkin, who is playing me in the show, you know, he's been on Broadway and Will Rogers, and he was in the original Civil War, and is a I knew him. I met him in Aspen in the 80s. We were splitting nights at a club in Aspen. So I've known David for a long time, and he's very smart and had suggestions about things that would make him more comfortable. And that's how we worked. That's how we put it together.
The show is billed about being about John Denver, but it is really about you and your relationship with him and what it was like being on tour.
And not only that, but John's life and my life are very parallel. We came to Aspen about the same time. We got divorced around the same time. I mean, there are a lot of things that locked up. And there's that kind of reflection of our lives throughout the whole play.
How did you and John meet initially? Was it a gig thing? Or?
I was living in Aspen. I was playing as a solo artist, and there was a band, Liberty, that I was dear friends with. And they were playing at a place called the Red Onion. It was a great nightclub in town, and John was a friend of theirs. And I was standing out in front of the club one night, and John walked up, and they introduced me, and we went inside. And this story will lead right into the song. So we walked inside the club, and they asked John to come up and sit in with them. And
what year was this?
This was 76.
Okay, so he already had quite some fame and fortune at this point.
Oh, yeah, he was John Denver at this point. So he got up on stage, and he had recorded a song by one of the guys in Liberty, and they did that. And then he called the band around him, and he got in a huddle, and he turned around, he was really excited. He said, I just wrote a brand new song. And it was the first time he played this for anyone. And it's my favorite John Denver song. I just happened to be in the audience the night he did it. So he wrote this for his Uncle Dean. Had an uncle named Matthew, was his father's only boy. born just south of Colby, Kansas, was his mother's pride and joy. Yes, and joy was just the thing that he was raised on. Love was just a way to live and die. Gold was just a windy Kansas wheat field. Blue was just a Kansas summer sky. All the stories that he told me back when I was just a lad, all the memories that he gave me, and all the good times that he had. Growing up a Kansas farm boy, life was mostly having fun. Riding on his daddy's shoulders, behind a mule beneath the sun. Yes, and joy was just the thing that he was raised on. Love was just a way to live and die. Gold was just a windy Kansas wheat field. Blue was just a Kansas summer sky. Well, I guess there were some hard times, and I'm told some years were lean. They had a storm in 47. Twister came and stripped him clean. Lost the farm and he lost his family. Lost the wheat and lost his home. But he found the family Bible. Faith as solid as a stone. Yes, and joy was just a thing that he was raised on. Love was just a way to live and die. Gold was just a windy Kansas wheat field. Blue was just a Kansas summer sky. So he came to live at our house, and he came to work the land. He came to ease my daddy's burden, and he came to be my friend. So I wrote this down for Matthew, and it's for him this song is sung. Riding on his daddy's shoulders, behind a mule beneath the sun. Yes, and joy was just the thing he was raised on. Love was just a way to live and die. Gold was just a windy Kansas wheat field. Blue was just a Kansas summer sky.
Mr. Dan Wheatman in Lake Effect Studio. Wow. And you were in the audience when first... I remember when that song was released.
Yeah. It's my favorite John Denver song, bar none. I just love that tune.
Well, it's a story song, too. And there's something about that. And that is part of that wonderful American folk and country tradition of telling stories through the songs. It's not just pretty verse and a melody, you know, kind of thing. There's actually something underneath.
Yeah.
When you and Randy were working on putting this show together and doing the editing that you were describing and coming up with the story that we're going to see on stage, how difficult was it to edit your life? Because that's what you were doing.
Yes. It was a very interesting process, Bonnie. It was a very interesting, especially, you know, the first part is really about me growing up and going to Colorado, my first time there, and running into John, being in this band. I got asked to be part of the band Liberty when the guy who wrote the song that John had recorded, John Summers, joined John Denver's band. He's also the guy that wrote Thank God I'm a Country Boy.
Okay.
Yeah. So I joined Liberty, and then we did a record for John and went out on the road. My first gig with him was the opening act on a big tour, 53 concerts in 51 days. All across America. It was great. It was great fun. Anyway, the show goes on from there. Liberty breaks up. I get asked to be in John's band as a bass singer, by the way. So singing, I didn't even know there was another 10 o'clock until I was 30. So we went on the road, and then in that second act, in the second part of the, that's where my marriage starts to dissolve, and that's where my life takes a really different turn, and John's too, at the same time, you know. And the very last, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes of the show, sitting in the rehearsal hall working on that, a lot of times I just had to be quiet. You know, I just had to sit there and listen to the ideas and where they were going to go with it. I was mentored by a guy named Donovan Marley, who ran the Denver Center Theater when I first, he was the artistic director. And one of the first things he said to me when I started writing was, you've got to be willing to kill the baby. It can't be so precious that you can't let go of something. And as a songwriter, I've known this a long time. You might write a verse that is, you just think's incredible, but it just doesn't fit with everything else in the song. And you have to, you know, put that aside and write another song around it sometime in order to make what you're working on the best it can be. And then we worked all through it and got it all hammered out. And then we started staging it, started doing the blocking. And the first scene in the show is actually as if Katie Deal, who is the gal in a beautiful voice, great gal, perfect for this. She has a real innocence in her singing. So there's a pre-recorded John, just him and the guitar, and it's playing, and they come out in the dark and they stand at these two microphones as if they're on stage singing, like I'm singing backup to John. And the first time we did that, and I just got sort of overwhelmed by the whole thing. And they finished, and there was this big nose blow.
I have something in my eye.
Yeah.
Is it hard for you now? I mean, he's gone. Is it hard for you to, like, see him recreated or be thinking about him in that way on stage?
There's a very interesting thing in my relationship with John, in that of all the people I've ever known in my life, living and dead, he visits my dreams more than anyone else, more consistently. And it's not like it's all the time, but if you were sort of make a chart of, okay, my mom, you know, my next door neighbor when I was six, whatever, you know, John comes and talks to me a lot. He just kind of hangs out. I mean, it's not like I'm getting information from him, but I see him in my dream. I'll see him in my dreams. and that's, I mean, we were friends before I worked with him, and he remains a dear friend to me.
You're very lucky that he visits.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't always.
No, they don't.
They're kind of ornery when they get to wherever they're going and decide what they want to do and what they're not.
Yeah.
But if there was one thing you want an audience to know about John and about Dan Wheatman that they didn't know before, what would it be?
Well, I think the most asked question about John is what you saw. Was he portraying himself, or was that an act? And of course, he's an entertainer, but the seed of all that was very real, very, very. He was a great guy. He was a really great guy. And having worked with other people and having a lot of friends in the business that have worked with other stars, it was great. I mean, we hung. We did stuff together, the whole band and John. I mean, when we were on the road, it was great. To me, the story, I hope, I mean, what was driving me about all this when I found out that we were going to do it was to make a human story, to make a story that anyone could relate to. It's couched in me being on the road with John Denver and my relationship with this other human being, but it's also about the struggles of keeping a relationship alive, the struggles of being in your job and making that job real every time you do it. You know, just getting up in the morning and doing your job and being a human and keeping some kind of heart in all of that.
Your job just happened to be getting up and playing fabulous music with fabulous musicians.
Oh, my God. The band was incredible. And when I first joined, it was all people, it was John Summers, who I knew, and a guy named Steve Weisberg and Dick Caniss, who was the upright bass player for Peter, Paul, and Mary. And the only real big name in it was Hal Blaine. Now, if you haven't seen the Wrecking Crew film, which is about the Wrecking Crew were the group of musicians in L.A. that did all of the records. When you hear the Beach Boys, that's the Wrecking Crew. Mamas and the Papas, that's the Wrecking Crew. Paul Simon, all that stuff, that's all those guys. And Hal Blaine is the most recorded musician, I think, in the world. And he was the drummer. Well, I did two jobs with that band, and the band completely changed. And then it was James Burton on guitar, who started off, Oh, Susie Q, the original. That was him from Dale Hawkins out of Louisiana. But then he joined Ricky Nelson's band, and he played in Elvis. He was in the original Hot Band with Emmylou Harris. He was one of the guys from the Wrecking Crew, a million records under his belt. And Glenn Hardin and Emery Gordy, and the banjo player was Herb Peterson, who played in the Dillards and was also sang duets with Emmylou and me.
And did you feel like you had somehow landed in Eden?
Well, I was a little, the very first, when I got the message, because we had done the job where, the last job with that band, John went to L.A. to record, and I got the message that he'd hired these guys to play and that John Summers had quit the band, and we're going to Australia in November, and you're playing fiddle and mandolin. I owned a fiddle. So
that was a start.
That was a start. And yeah. Then I spent the next 7 years playing music with those guys. And that was my musical education. I would stay up with Glenn Hardin till 3 in the morning after the shows. And we would just talk about rhythm and tone and timing and music, you know, honesty, expression.
It sounds like heaven to me.
Yeah, it was. It was a little daunting at first. There's a story in the show. So the first gig with that band was in Auckland, New Zealand, and it was a soccer field, and it was raining, and I don't remember one thing about that gig. The second gig was the Opera House in Sydney. Now, at the end of Thank God I'm a Country Boy, the band stops, and the fiddle goes, all by itself. So I had just learned that part. Unbeknownst to me, there'd only been one rehearsal with the band before they got there. So they had 2.5 hours of music to play. And Emery Gordy, the bass player, was so nervous. But I just met him. I had no idea. Because he has to make all those changes right with John. He can't fake it. So I'm standing on the side of the, after we do the sound check, I'm standing over there going, ba-da-da-da-da, ba-da-da-da-da, ba. And Emery walks by and goes, you've known about this gig for weeks, Wheatman. It's no time to rehearse. And my knees just buckled. It's like, it's just, oh, my God. Anyway, it was a great time.
But it all happened.
Oh, yeah.
It all worked out.
Years later, in fact, it was only about 4 years ago, somebody sent me a recording of that concert. It was great. I mean, if you'd asked me right after the concert if it worked, I couldn't have told you. But it did. It had somehow worked out.
Well, Dan Wheatman, it has been such a pleasure.
Oh, it's my pleasure,
talking with
Bonnie.
You and hearing about this. I'm so looking forward to the show. I'm hoping that you will play us out with something.
Oh,
and
dear.
It's your choice. Whatever
my
you
choice.
Would like.
Okay. Gosh. Like I said, I'm the bass singer, so John's songs, Colorado Rocky Mountain High. You know, it's about there. But let me see if there's a storm across the valley, clouds are rolling in, the afternoon is heavy on your shoulders. There's a truck out on the 4-lane, a mile or more away. The whining of his wheels just makes you colder. He's an hour away from riding on your prayers up in the sky.
10 days on the road are barely gone. There's a fire softly burning.
Dan Wheatman is the co-creator, along with Randy Myler, of the world premiere stage show Back Home Again, On the Road with John Denver. The show is open through early November at Milwaukee Rep's Stackner Cabaret.
It's good to be back home again. Sometimes it's so far, feels like a long-lost friend. Yes, and hey, it's good to be back home again. Hey, it's good to be back home again.